This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around the city, and we get to listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or the band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and so you find your next favorite artist or band. And of course, if you like what you hear, please make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Silvana Estrada. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Sam Sumter at WFUV. Sam, I think I can kind of speak for both of us when I say that this was exactly what we all needed today at the station.
Emotionally, spiritually.
It really was spiritual. Talk to me about watching Silvana's live set and this beautiful conversation that you had with her afterwards that listeners are going to hear in a second.
I think spiritual is actually the perfect word for it because it's one that in our interview she uses to describe the experience of her shows, of people coming together, of her giving her heart away and other people giving theirs back, of being in communion with each other. This album that just came out, her sophomore album, it's a product of grappling with a lot of different griefs against a backdrop globally that is really tumultuous, a lot of violence. And it's a work of healing. And I think we can all agree, Megan, that music has healing power. So to have her in the studio today to talk about the record and to talk about her experience playing this album across the world to thousands of fans singing along so loud she couldn't hear herself. It was a really, really special session.
Well, let's go ahead and let listeners bask in this spiritual experience because that really is spot on. What is the first song that we're going to hear in this session?
The first one we are going to hear is Dime from Silvana Estrada.
Dime si te vas o si te quedas. Dime si es de veras esta vez. Dime qué vamos a hacer ahora. Falso simulacro sé. ¿Cuál era la idea de aventarte sin dejarte caer? ¿Qué manera tan desoladora de querer? ¿Cómo puede ser tu amor a medias, píldora y enfermedad también? ¿Cómo puede ser tan largo el duelo? Sin dejarte tan desolado ahora de querer.
That was Dimay from Silvana Estrada here on WFUV. I'm your host, Sam Sumter. So excited to have the Latin Grammy winning artist here in the studio with me today. Silvana.
Hi.
Hi, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien. Thanks for having me. Such a pleasure.
Thank you so much for being here. You're back in New York. I think you were just here a few weeks ago, right?
Yes, I think like a week or 2 weeks ago. I did the Webster Hall.
Yeah, I heard a sold out Webster Hall show.
Yeah. It was definitely like a highlight of the tour this year.
Congratulations. Tell me about what that show was like for you. This is coming off of the release of your sophomore album, Vendrán Suaves Lluvias.
Yes, perfect.
Thank you. What was it like to play to a sold out room, not just in New York, but you're coming off of a U.S. tour that was sold out, a EU tour that was sold out. How has it been to play these songs for these rooms of people?
It has been crazy, specifically about what happened that day at Webster Hall. Mm-hmm. It was very, very, very moving because it was so many people and just, you know, New York is just one of the greatest cities, and it was just so beautiful to see like all the Latino community, but then, you know, people that maybe doesn't speak Spanish, but they were like trying their best, and everybody was like Spanglish, and like, I don't know, it was just so moving. And then to think that this album went out like 2 months ago and the people is already singing like every word of every single song at the shows, at the point that, you know, actually on this tour here in the US, I had to like talk to my engineer, like, Leo, what are we gonna do? Because people are singing so loud that I'm not listening to myself. Because I use monitors. I don't use in ears. And he was like, maybe Silvana, you are gonna need to use in ears. And I was like, no, I don't want to. I wanna keep doing like monitors. And he was like, well, then ask your fans to sing a little bit less. And I was like, I'm not gonna do it. So yeah, it was like a thing. No, for real. It was a thing. So I feel just like grateful, and like this is better than any dream I had ever, like before in my life. Like, this is way better than I ever thought it was gonna be, just to do songs and, you know, travel the world and sing for people that are completely, you know, heart open to the music. And it's just beautiful.
Thousands of backing vocalists.
It's actually we are finishing the show with El Alma Mía, which is the last song of the album. And something that is crazy is that we did this arrangement with all the musicians. So everybody in my band, it's actually singing, because we were like, let's finish with this choir moment, no? But the people is singing so loud that it actually sounds like a choir piece. Como una pieza coral. It's really, and at the venues where there's like a little bit of reverb, it definitely sounds like we are in a church and we're all like, you know, open our hearts like together. It's really, really like emotional and almost like como spiritual.
Yeah, spiritual. And like, I mean, it sounds like a very holy thing. And I say this a lot, but for me, live music is a spiritual experience.
Totally.
And that is my church, to go see an artist and connect. And I think especially just given the emotional gravity of this album, in the process of writing it, you were coming out of several griefs, grappling with griefs, set against the backdrop of so much happening in the world, so much tragedy, so much violence over the last 3 years. To bring that together and be with people and go through these emotions together, I mean, and make it a celebration at the same time. Hmm.
Yeah.
What is it like to go up on stage and play these songs that you wrote from a place of such pain night after night?
I think to me, there's a very spiritual element. I'm always very conscious about the power of the music, the healing power of the songs. And I'm always trying to be in service of the music, in service of the moment, in service of the crowd, like in service of what they need. And sometimes people don't know what they want or what they need. But then there's this thing of like being very, very open and kind of feeling the energy. And yeah, and take your heart and give it away. It's beautiful and it takes a lot of energy. But then that energy comes back during the show because everyone's like doing the same to you, which is one of the nicest thing. No, it's like nobody knows each other. Like nobody knows who is the person next to you, but somehow you're both crying and laughing and feeling and celebrating life and feeling your own grief and your own pain. And there's something deeply, deeply ancient about, you know, using music as a tool for like healing in community. And I think to me, that's one of the most beautiful things. And I try to be very, very conscious of like my role, you know. I'm not saying like I don't want to be like this, you know. I'm not saying that I'm like healing people and I'm like preaching, not at all. I'm just singing songs, but I'm aware that how powerful songs are. And I'm also aware of like all these people is there, you know, for enjoying a concert. And that sounds very simple, but in these days, you know, it's a miracle. Because, you know, with the world as it is, it's crazy that we still connect with each other through beauty. Yeah. So to me, you know, singing all these songs, which you're right, most of the songs come from like really sad moments of my life. But to me, it's also healing for me because I'm like, oh, I'm not sad about these things anymore. But I know that I'm giving like a space for other people to actually see inside of them, to feel deeply. And that, you know, that's so important, so beautiful. And I just feel deeply grateful that I, you know, that I do that for a living. It's insane.
I think all these thousands and thousands of people who have come to see you are grateful as well. Mm. And, you know, you talk about giving your heart away, but everyone doing the same. It's like we're all just trading hearts, you know, at this point.
Yeah, and I think that's something really beautiful about my concerts. Like, a bunch of people make friends at my concerts. Like, it's super, like, it's a safe space for everybody. You know, I try to spread all the love I have in every concert. And I feel like people do the same. Yeah. People at my concerts are very, very loving and caring. And I think, I think I do music because that keeps my hope alive. And I think, you know, it's so important to have hope in order to live, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, we were speaking very vaguely about everything happening in the world, because there is a lot to grapple with, but especially in the U.S. right now, and even in New York, it's horrific the way immigrants are under attack. And even people who are native-born Americans, who have their green cards, who have their citizenships, the attack on the Latino community is really horrific. So to come and create this space to sing in Spanish, for people to gather and celebrate and feel love and celebrate the culture, to celebrate Mexico and being Mexican, like it's more important now than ever.
And I think we really need to, I think Latinos, no, Mexicans, we really need to create spaces where we are actually welcome, where we can rest our minds and our bodies from the tension of being always in danger. That's so cruel to live with fear. That's so cruel, and that's like shame on you know, our governments.
Absolutely.
Because there's no way to describe what it is to live with fear. That's the total lack of freedom. And for me, and I had it in my mind every concert during this tour, I was like, okay, I want to make this to welcome my people and also to celebrate us.
Yeah.
Because we Mexicans put so many beauty out there. Like, we create so much beauty, so much culture, so much everything, you know? And to me, it's like, we need to celebrate ourselves because we're doing amazing things. You know, it's we're such a kind, loving, caring, brave culture. So to me, it was also very important during these shows to acknowledge that, to celebrate that, and to just literally say like, hey, I see you and I love you.
Yeah.
You know,
it's joy and it's love as resistance.
Yeah.
And I think that's where art and activism come together. And I know activism is really important for you. You were honored, I think, earlier this year by the Grammy Museum and National Sawdust for your artistry and your activism.
Yeah.
How do you consider art as a tool for activism and what can all of us do to, you know, in these times to help each other?
I think art, it's a very, very, very powerful tool to mirroring. It's like a mirror. It's like this mirror that allows us to think of better realities. It's like this space where we can actually ask ourselves, how do we want to live? How do we want to love? How do we want to be loved? And what do we want to like fight for? And I think the beauty of art and the importance of art is that you can have the most terrible pain in your heart, but somehow when you do something beautiful from your own pain, suddenly it's something you can name, suddenly it's something you can share, you feel less lonely, you feel human again, and somehow you can start to love again, to live again, you feel light again, you can smile again. I don't know, at least in my case, without art, I really don't know why, like, how I could be living right now, you know?
And art is what makes life worth living as well for everyone who gets who's consuming it.
Yeah, like, and I also think, like, something we should be doing more, it's like asking ourselves if we are living for beauty. Like, are we, like, we should be asking ourselves, is this world beautiful and why? If the answer is yes, why?
Mm-hmm.
What makes it beautiful? And if the answer is no, why?
And how can we fix
And how can we fix it?
Yeah.
You know, I think beauty, it's a powerful star, you know, and it, like this idea of like following the star, beauty should be one of the biggest stars to follow, because beauty makes us human, beauty makes us empathetic, beauty reminds us that life is so short, that we should be, you know, taking care of all the lives, you know, of everybody. Like, this miraculous moment that we are awake, it's so short. So you better be awake for real.
It's the blink of an eye.
Yeah. And you better try to have a, you know, a nice time. I think also, like, we should
while
all try to be happy, you know?
Well, speaking of beauty, you're going to play another beautiful song for us. Mm. Which one is next?
The next one is Flores.
Flores.
Which is actually a liberation. The story of the song is I was kind of going out of trying to put an end to this really rough, complicated love story. And that song is kind of my liberation, no? Mm-hmm. Like the first moment to say like, okay, no problem. I'm going to leave and no problem. I can take care of myself. And I definitely, you know, I wrote that song as a young woman. And I think there's this moment of growing where you kind of acknowledge that you're the one who can save you. Like, nobody's going to save you. Like, you need to save yourself and you need to take care of yourself more than anybody. And yeah, it was like a growing moment, like a growing pain moment. But I did this song in order to remind me, like, but I can be free. You know, if I take good care of me, I'll be free and I'll be okay.
Ya no puedo más con esta espera, viviendo a la sombra de otro amor. Si yo para ti soy un problema, si escondes a la luna, son instantes que oscilan temerosas junto a ti. Si acaso mi cariño es un dilema, toma fuerza.
Flores from Silvana Estrada for FUV. your song of liberation. I feel that's contributing to the canon of amazing songs by women being like, I can take care of myself.
Yeah.
Claiming that power.
Yeah, I think it's I really love songs like old songs, Mexican songs, cancionero, latinoamericano. And I think one of the things I love the most is to see how love songs have been evolving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can think of like all these Cole Porter songs, love songs, and some of those songs are kind of crazy, like hit me but don't leave me, and like, you know. And now it's like, no, not at all. Love is not about that. You know, I'm kind of proud of like all these new love songs.
No, it's a musical, but in Greece, when it's like, you better shape up because I need a man. My mom was always like, you do not need a man,
exactly.
Samantha.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I told you earlier that, regrettably, I only learned Spanish throughout high school. So it's been about 20 years.
Wow. No, but it's fine.
Yes, but it's such a beautiful language. When I'm listening to your music, as a result of that, the lyrics are almost instrumentals to me, but I can feel the emotion because you're drawing on this universal language of human feeling and the depth of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the lyrics are such an important part of the music for you.
Yeah.
You are a poet as well. And I believe the title of the album comes from the name of a poem, too. The poem is from Sarah Teasdale, There Will Come Soft Rains.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you tell me about how you came across that poem and how you decided to name the album after that?
Yeah. I think I was 12 when I read Crónicas Marcianas from Wright Bradbury. I don't know the name in English. Anyways, so I was reading this book, and the end of the whole book is this poem from Sarah Teasdale. The actual name of the poem is Wartime.
Oh, wow.
So basically, I kind of read the poem, and the phrase "Vendrán suaves lluvias," there will come soft rains, gets stuck in my mind for 10 years or more, and I guess I was, you know, finishing the songs from the album. I was, you know, writing "No te vayas sin saber," one of the songs, and then I suddenly remembered this phrase, no, "Vendrán suaves lluvias," and then the whole image, no, of like this little hope, this humble hope of like, it's such a humble thing to promise, and yet it's so beautiful. No, like I cannot promise that everything is going to be okay, but there will come soft rains. It's like this softness of hoping, and this sweetness that exists in longing for a better world or a better reality. And I went back to the book and to read the poem again, and that poem destroyed me, because the poem is actually very dark, you know. Sarah Teasdale wrote that poem after the First World War and during a pandemic.
Wartime. Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Timely.
Crazy. And basically, she's like, you know what? I cannot promise you that we're gonna make it, but I can promise you that summer and spring is going to be back, and there will come soft rains. I don't know. I was kind of in a really hard time in my life, and that certainty of softness kind of, you know, spoke to me at that moment. Yeah.
Yeah, that hope you spoke about earlier.
Yeah.
Just having that, even if it's just a little bit of hope. It's going.
Yeah.
I do want to talk a little bit about the making of the album.
Yes.
I believe it was made over 3 years in 3 countries. And you self-produced this, which is amazing. When you made the decision to do this, I mean, I imagine that's coming with such creative freedom, like total creative freedom.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a lot of work.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
What was your experience like?
Well, it was really nice. It was also very hard. A bunch of work. I at some point, I was like, okay, I need to produce myself this album, because I tried to work with other people, and I don't know. I had to, like, search for my own truth and my own sound, and that took a while. And I knew from the beginning, I knew that wasn't gonna be easy at all.
Yeah.
And then I had to face a bunch of things, like, you know, allowed myself to be a producer. The thing of like self-production is obviously that you have too much freedom. So but then
you can do anything.
You can do anything, and that is a nightmare. but you
paralysis
know,
of choice.
Exactly. But then with the time, and that's why it took 3 years, because I had to learn so much, so many things. At some point, I was like, okay, I'm gonna set boundaries for myself. Mm-hmm. You know, like, is it gonna have orchestra? Okay. Orchestra then. Is it gonna be live performed, or is it gonna be, I don't know. I did like these lists of, like, you know, it doesn't matter if you cross the boundaries, but you need to have at least some rules to start, no?
Yes.
And then
some guardrails.
Exactly. And then also the fact to, you know, allow myself to be a producer, because in my mind all the producers are men. Used to, no? I changed my idea, but it's hard when you compare yourself an idea, because the idea is totally impossible, and it's a little bit cruel. It's like, you know, oh, how can I be a producer if all the producers are like men and like, wise and
absolutely.
White?
And like, yeah, you know? Like, and I am not those things.
And I
shouldn't have to be those things.
Exactly, but it took me a while to be like, okay, I'm going to do this my way. It's not going to be anybody else's style. It's going to be my style. And it's not going to be perfect. But nobody's going to take care of my music the way I do. I'm the only one that is going to like die for this music. And that makes me the perfect person, you know, to produce this music and to take care of this music. So it was a crazy decision, but I took it and I learned so much, and I'm super proud, and I'm really hoping to like inspire other women and girls to produce their own music, and like, you know, not ask for permission to take decisions and like to try their ideas. And yeah, and I think at the end it's like nobody knows how your music should sound except you.
Yeah, it's in your head.
It's already in your body, in your heart, in your soul. So do it.
Yeah, absolutely. On that note, and I think also, you know, another form of liberation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I believe you have to go to the airport. You're going back to Mexico in a few minutes.
Yes.
What song are you going to leave us with?
I'm going to leave you with Como un Pájaro, which, it's one of my favorites from the album. It's like this homenage to like solitude and like silence and contemplation. And yeah, if you're a little bit lost or a little bit sad, I don't know if this is going to make you feel better, but it's definitely going to suit your mood.
Yeah, you can whistle along.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much for being here. I could talk to you forever, and I look forward to having you back next time.
Please, guys. I love you all. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Como un Pájaro on WFUV.
Se apagaron ya las luces, ahora duerme la ciudad. Se entrelazarán las piernas por cariño y por piedad. Mientras yo prendo velitas en frasquitos de cristal que me cubre la penumbra, todo bien y todo mal. Mientras todo el mundo duerme, yo me ser posible las señales que no vi. Déjame si estoy llorando, aunque vaya a amanecer. Que por más que yo te quiera, dime tú qué puedo hacer. Mientras todo el mundo duerme, yo te
That was Silvana Estrada performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Silvana for joining us in our studio and to Glass Note Music. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Aaron Merriman, and Nadia Garriga. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producer for this episode was Gwen Taylor. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new music and discover your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. Please rate and review the show if you like what you hear so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Sam Sumter.